May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 157, Mourning Souls by Sin Distressed, Lost and Ruined, Void of Good. You can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Tonight, out of God's most holy word, you can find in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born. And a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? As far as the reading of God's most holy word, he had his blessing and give us the spirit of real prayer. Most merciful, gracious, eternal God, O Lord, we as a company of poor sinners would bow down before thy most holy presence. O Lord, we come be at the throne of grace. O Lord, we send our petitions unto thee as poor and wretched ones. But Lord, thy very word declares, and the Lord passed by and proclaimed his name, the Lord gracious, long-suffering and full of mercy. Lord, do remember us tonight again as once again we have gathered around thy word. Lord, we do have to confess and acknowledge with an honest confession in our hearts that there is no good within us. Lord, do it for thy great name's sake, for thy glory's sake, that thou might remember us as we gather. And Lord, we beg thee to touch our hearts tonight, thou who art the almighty God, with whom there is nothing too hard for thee. Then, Lord, we beg that thou would touch the hardest of hearts and melted in contrition, that the blindest of eyes may see tonight, and that the dead as a soul may be risen into life. They that are dead shall hear thy voice, and they that hear shall live. Lord, we beg for life to be breathed into our souls, and we beg thee, Lord, to set us upon the gospel way. For without thy presence, Lord, we gather tonight again in vain, and without thy loving kindness within us, we shall not walk in the gospel way, having no heart nor desire. O Lord, that thou then would apply that word unto each of our souls, and that thou might be, that it might please thee to touch My tongue with that coal from the heavenly altar. Oh, to cleanse the tongue to speak of the glories of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. Oh, to be enabled, Lord God, to have that liberty of the blessed Spirit, the unction and power of thy Holy Spirit within us, to proclaim that gospel way and gospel truth. And Lord, that man might be set down in the dust of abasement. Oh, grant us then, Lord, that strength and liberty to preach thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give us faith. Oh, that thou would make the hungering and thirsting ones filled with thy righteousness. And that thou would grant that multitudes here may be turned in. Oh, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Employ thy power, and we shall know and understand. Fill our souls with love. Hear us, Lord, for thy great name's sake. Bless thy church that gathers. Lord, fill them with that love. Fill them with that true humility. Give them that Christian zeal, that longing for thy blessings to be poured amongst them. Grant them, Lord, prayers for one another, prayers for the congregation. Oh, Lord, that they might be exercised continually, storming the throne of grace, that thou might hear the poor petitions of man. Did thou not say that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Oh, then, Lord, exercise him in this necessity. Bless him with thy presence. Remember this cause, thy cause in this land and at home and abroad. Oh, Lord, that thou would bless us all together with thy presence and teach us and lead us and guide us. Direct us in thy way and comfort us with thy love. And guide thy servants as they proclaim that word. Grant them, Lord, strength to proclaim the gospel. Give them those blessings of bread from heaven. Oh, that they might partake of that sweet bread and nourishment of the soul. That they, through the comforts that have been given unto them, may be able to comfort others in distress. Grant them, Lord, that liberty to edify Zion in all her ways. And, oh, to speak the truth of man, wretched fallen man. Lord, do give them thy love and that special power of the Spirit. Do grant to those help in dark places and trying ways, those whom thou hast pleased in an infinite wisdom to plunge into darkness, into sorrows and great distress. That thou, Lord, might guide them and lead them by thy hand, and prove thyself a faithful God, that they, when they have been lifted out of the dust and out of the prison houses, may proclaim that precious gospel of a dear Savior, an ever-near Savior, and a never-failing Savior. And, Lord, remember the elderly ones in old age that have been laid aside, those who so long have labored in thy vineyard. O Lord, that thou might sustain and bless, and grant them a tongue to speak well of thee, and of thy constant faithfulness and goodness. And Lord, we beg again tonight that thou would give us more men, blessed and anointed with the Holy Spirit and the oil of gladness to proclaim that word. Men who thou would anoint with the strength and liberty. Oh, the Lord, the need is so great in this world. Oh, to hear that precious and solemn truth of salvation in Christ. Lord, give us these men. Have mercy on us, we pray. Bless us, Lord, with thy presence in our families. And amongst this people here, Lord, that thou might dwell with them, that thou might lay thy hand over each one of their homes, and that thou might protect and preserve them. And oh, that thou would spare them from an unprepared death. Lord, that thou would give wisdom unto the parents who teach their children, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord, that thou would give that love from husbands and wives together, that they too may love and cherish one another, caring for one another, walking in that spirit of which thou hast written in thy word. That thou would grant to those who are seeking partners in this life that thou, Lord, might teach them to look to thee and ask for thy guidance in all these things. For thou, Lord, art the great and wise one. To have a blessing from thee, to have a word from thee excels all things. Lord, to have mercy on them. Guide them in every path of life and remember them. That thou, Lord, might especially remember those in sickness, those bowed down with griefs and burdens. Lord, to remember such ones. How great is their need. And how so often they do hide their burdens in their own closets, under their own roofs. But Lord, thou art hast an all-seeing eye, and thou knowest all things in every perplexity, and thou hearest every groan, and every sigh, and every tear that is dropped to the ground. Lord, that thou might appear, art thou not that glorious counselor? Wonderful is thy name. Wilt thou then counsel such ones in distress, and grant that they might confide in thee? Oh, cheer them in their way. And that they might be softened in the trial, that they might submit their cases unto thee, and entrust all things to thee, the all-wise and gracious God. So, Lord, remember them, favor them with thy presence, Remember our dear ones at home and our congregation and church that dwells there. Oh God, to remember us all together. Our needs are so great. Our poverty is so great, our wretchedness. But Lord, thou art able to overcome all things. Glorify then thyself, we pray, in our midst, that we may sing praises unto thee. And again, Lord, we set before thee the needs of our nation and this people. Lord, in mercy, remember them. Bless them with the power, thy power working in the hearts of the leaders. Turn us, O Lord, turn us, for judgments are due upon us. Thy wrath to be poured upon our nations as Sodom and Gomorrah. For we do not, Lord, differ from them one iota. Oh, then favor us with repentance that we might return. Oh, in wrath, remember thy mercy. And Lord, we pray for thy precious word, the Holy Bible. Oh, that word that thy people hold to their breast with such love and such delight. Lord, bless it and prosper it and send it throughout this world. Let poor people therein be drawn unto Jesus Christ, that thy kingdom might yet come, that thy power and redemption might be known, that Satan may be yet broken down in his kingdom, and his hatred unto mankind, that thou, Lord, would defeat it, and thou would reveal that loving kindness that is thine to give, to have mercy, Lord, we pray. And now again, Lord, we would bow before thee to acknowledge thee, to thank thee, to praise thee. For thou art the most high God, worthy to be adored and to be reverenced with the greatest of reverence. We'd fall down before thee, O Lord God, to praise thee. And thou who hast had mercy upon this world and sent thy Son. O thou who hast called thy church out of the darkness of this world and out of Satan's kingdom. Thou by thy almighty power that has been able to defend thy people and destroy all their enemies. And thou, Lord, who hast given thy Son. Oh, what precious and thankful themes there are in Jesus Christ. His precious humanity and his glorious divinity united in one gracious man, the God-man, Emmanuel. We would fall down and worship him in thankful tribute. His ways upon this earth. Oh, the comfort derived from Jesus Christ, the healing power through Jesus Christ, the lifting out of the dead by the life in Jesus Christ and the light unto the blind, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. His glory is a work of Calvary. Oh, the deliverance of sin, the removal of sin, the casting away of sin forever and ever, and righteousness brought in. Him who laid those sins in the grave and rose up triumphant and ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ, our mediator, prophet, and priest. Blessed Spirit, whom thou hast given to teach us. O Lord, we thank thee for we who are but fools and had never known and nor understand or understood nor never followed the ways of Jesus, O him who comes into the heart of chief sinners and turns them to Christ, him who so patiently bears witness of Christ Jesus to such ignorant sinners. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessed Spirit, the remembrancer, the revealer, and comforter of souls. And so, Lord, as we turn unto thy word this evening hour, O do come into our midst, Lord, for without thee we gather in vain. A poor people who shall leave empty and poor, except thou come to bless us, which is rich with the riches of heaven. So hear us and answer us in the high courts of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we beg all these things. Amen.
Hymn number 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
feeling to need the Lord's help again for this evening hour, we draw your prayerful attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the first verse. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. I want to speak as the Lord may enable me this evening hour of that theme of time. Oh, what a word worthy of our contemplation. What a word, dear friends, worthy of the thoughts of our heart and the exertion of our mind in this time state. This word dropped in my heart in the Friday morning, I believe it was, as I woke up in Mr. Field's place, and I woke up to the sound of the clock, the ticking of the clock. And that clock seemed to tick louder and louder and louder in my ear, reminding of the deep necessity of time, of the relentless of time, of the rapidity of time, the fast pace of time. And the more I listened to it, the more I was tempted to grab the hand of that clock to stop that, if I could but stop time. And I see it in my mind as if my whole body was lifted up by the hand as time would not be stopped. We cannot stop time. How solemn then, dear friends, is this our time state upon this earth, our life, where we are all subject to this a very solemn word of time. As it says here, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Oh, how worthy it is, and then, that we would spend much time reflecting this word. What is time to us? The preparation of the soul for the never-ending eternity. When we think of time, in some way I look at it as in my finite mind, my simple mind, it is simply a measurement for us to be understand at the beginning of things and to the end of things. It is that short duration between two eternities. That and the eternities which our finite minds cannot contemplate, for they are without number. And when we think of time in that sense, then in a very simple way, I would think of it as this: one drop of water dropped into the oceans of this world cannot be compared to eternity. That there's an end. The vast, never-ending eternity is greater than that drop of water in the ocean, for it can be measured. We would take one drop out of the ocean at a time, and there will come an end of it. But eternity is vaster than that. How vital it is then that we who have been brought into this world to be brought under that sense of time, that we may be prepared. For we all hastened through this short duration of time to a period which cannot be measured. And as we depart from each other for a season, oh dear friends, that this might be the meditation of our heart. There is a period in which you and I are allotted to beg of the Lord to make us beggars, to beg of the Lord to make us returners, and to beg of the Lord to make us knowledgeable of that salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. To beg of the Lord to give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and the desire and longing of your heart and mind to be one with Jesus Christ and in favor with God and prepared. Oh, that when time is no more, when it runs out, that our souls may joy and rejoice in Christ our Savior, and that time takes on an entirely different meaning. Well, there's such a vast difference between the converted and the unconverted in relation to time. To the unconverted, time is in which we waste our life in frivolities, when we do not realize what Solomon is saying in the book of Ecclesiastes, that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And to the converted, the Lord hath turned their eyes and changed them to reflect in the value of time. That time is that place, time is that stage of life wherein their souls were made to seek Jesus Christ. And when they became ones whom death would have no power, O grave, where is thy sting? And O death, where is thy power? Thanks be unto God who hath taken away the sting of death and taken away the power of the grave and destroyed the power of the great tempter. Time is a place in which their souls were prepared. And time is a place in which they were taught to reflect on the beauties of Christ Jesus, their beloved Savior. Time shall only be that short duration in which, though they may be plunged in many trials and troubles, it is so very short to that never-ending eternity where they shall be forever and ever with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does time mean to us? When we think of time, in our text words, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. We already said in the beginning of these verses, we see that there is a beginning and an ending. When we build something, it shall be broken down. When we plant something, it shall ripen and die. There are the gathering in of stones and the casting out of stones as an end to everything. And we think of that. And then we think even deeper than that, there in every purpose of time, in every act of time, there is a sovereign ruler in the skies who overrules. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hands, all events at thy command. It is a mercy, dear friends, when we are able to direct our souls unto God who gave us life, who set us in this place and position in our lives. It is a mercy when we are able to entrust our all into the hands of this sovereign God. And you see in the Word of God, how profound is His wisdom. How God, in so many ways, it is as the master builder of the unknown. Working, we would say, around the world to perform His wonders. And to perform the events in our time. We look at Joseph himself as a perfect example. We see there the strange events of time. We see a father who favored a child. We see children who hated a brother because of it. We see the selling of him into bring him into the pit and being sold as a slave. We see him being brought then by the profound wisdom of God unto Potiphar, and then we see him being brought unto the prison house. Of his denial to do the evil, to engage in evil activity. And then we see him raised up into the palace that he might have the provisions of the people of Israel in famine. But more so that the very prophecy that was spoken unto Abraham, that thy people shall be in Egypt 430 years, also might be accomplished. Do we not see then, dear friends, that our lives too are in the same hands of this Most High God? There is nothing that happens in your life or a mind by chance. We absolutely deny that anything is a surprise or by chance to the Most High God. The very fact of our friendship here and with our dear friends comes from the profound wisdom of God in a volcano in Iceland. How profound are the ways of God as He draws and He brings together in the most marvelous of ways. But dear friends, can we commit the very things in our life unto this God? The good and the evil. Did we not speak of that in one of the sermons? Doth not out of the Most High God proceed both good and evil? Most certainly it does. And so we see all the events in our lives, in yours and mine together. They come from God for a purpose. The wise decrees of Almighty God, the sovereign will of God, performed in your life and mine. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. But dear friends, there is something in my mind here also. When we speak of time, when we speak of the grave necessities in this life, when we speak of the solemn events of this time, when we speak of a world that is fast falling away from the commandments of God, there is something in the Word of God which is in Psalm 69 verse 13, it says this, Unto thee, O God, will I bring my prayer in an acceptable time, according to the multitude of thy mercies, in the truth of thy salvation. Here again, friends, I feel it a great need, a burden upon my soul to question each one of us of our very life of prayer. In every need of life, in every day of life, do we from morning to evening send up our petition to God? That beautiful psalm, Psalm 4, I believe it is, where it says, "In the morning, O Lord, will I direct up my cry unto thee, thou shalt hear my prayer. At morning, noon, and night will I pray unto thee, O Lord." Acceptable time, a time of prayer, a beseeching of the Lord to guide you in the events of time, in the unknown way. I feel it a duty to, as it were, search us out and to inquire how stands the case, dear friends, in the life of prayer, in the exercise of our souls unto God in heaven, unto the sovereign God who rules and reigns through all the events of this world from the very beginning to the end. Is our need to Him? Are we exercised daily, like Jacob at Jabbok as Esau was coming there? "I will not let thee go till thou bless me." Do we know, friends, the exercise of true prayer? The sacred beauty given unto those whose hearts are consumed in the trials and troubles of life. Look at the example in Acts chapter 12 of Peter. Peter in the prison, and his dearly beloved friends and brethren that were praying for him in that house. And the gates opened of their own accord, for the Lord answered the cries and prayers of that people in a time of great persecution. Are you a praying people for one another's needs, friends? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Members, those of you who have a profession of faith and walk in that way of the church, are you those burden bearers for one another? The carriers of the needs of the congregation of the church unto Jesus Christ? May the Lord exercise us in this, in the preciousness of faith, in the life of faith, and the value of faith. We've already said that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, comparing it to the prayer of Elijah, whom the Lord heeded his cries and answered them in a acceptable time. Friends, when we speak of time, in this chapter it speaks of it, that there is an end to everything. How we are exhorted to live a life of prayer and a calling upon God to guide us day by day. Do we direct our prayers unto God? "Lord, hold up thou my goings." Who knows what this day holds? Who knows what will happen even tomorrow? Who knows if I should even get home tomorrow? But oh, that call unto God to direct us, to hold us up, and to grant us a faith to trust and commit our ways into His hand. We are finite creatures. We don't know what time will bring us. It's an unknown pathway into the future. And mercy it is when we are continually directed, beloved friends, to seek God's presence and ask of God's favor and guidance day by day in this what we call time. The second thing I wanted to speak of is in verse 9. "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" A searching out of our exertions, we would say, or how we spend our time. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Or we would read in the New Testament, "What shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And the case directed to each one of us that we might examine ourselves with is, how do we spend our time? How do we spend our time? Is it in the need of our precious soul? Or is it in the daily needs of our fleshly lusts and passions? What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? As if to say, wherefore labor ye, in Isaiah 55, wherefore labor ye for that which is not bread, for that which perisheth? Exercising our souls and searching of how we spend our time. If you turn to Genesis 24 and the 63rd verse, there we find how one spent his time. And there we read something of a man whose name is Isaac. And Isaac went out in the eventide into the fields to meditate. Meditate on the things of eternal realities. They meditate on the God who gave him life and the God who gave him all the blessings in his life. To meditate on the law of God. To meditate on this precious word. Why do I say that? In Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 8. To set our hearts right, friends. When we search ourselves, when we examine ourselves and how we are spending our life, how we're spending time, then we see wise men who would meditate in the things that profited the soul. And though I may not be a most successful person, though I may not have the things of this world, if I may but have the Lord Jesus Christ in my soul and be prepared for the time when what we are speaking of tonight, time shall be no more. There we read in the 8th verse, Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, nor neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. A marvelous thing, beloved friends, that we might say and believe such a precious truth. And that we might truly say, Lord God, thou knowest. Thine eyes have seen the desires of my heart and how I spend my time. I believe I've said it to you before. But we could say it again tonight, dear friends, as we believe it's the last time that we shall see each other for a while. Oh, do we value this precious book? Do we long to spend our time here? Or is it only the book that we read by habit? Or for consciences, for the ease of conscience? I remember a minister a long time ago. I may have told you this. He took this book up, and this is exactly what he did. He picked it up like this, and he went like this and said, held it to his breast and said, the book that he loved, the book that was everything to his soul, the book that he cherished, the book that he searched in, the book that was a comfort of his soul, the delight of his heart, the guide in the pathways of life. Can we come there? Have we meditated, beloved friends, in this? Has it come and shone out in its pages and its words and dropped into our spirit with life? Has it reprimanded or reproved us? And you might say, well, there is the negativity again. There is the pessimism. Well, dear friends, I believe in Timothy we have the effects of that word of God. I believe it's in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is this book such a precious Bible to your souls? The word of life. Worthy of a meditation, worthy of spending our time, worthy to be sought in. Has it been the blessings of your soul, and has the word sprung out as the words of life to our hearts and been the joy and rejoicing of our souls? If we could urge one thing, it would be to be meditating continually and the precious word of life. And if we do not know, dear friends, oh, of the comforts of the word of God, that we might become beggars, that there may be a time and a season in life, a purpose given of God, that this word may become a living word. And if it is the means to reprimand us and rebuke us, and to reprove us for our foolishness in this time, the way we're frivoling away our life, in which we're wasting our time, in which we're being so exceedingly foolish with the valuable time we have. When you go back to the beginning of this discourse, comparing it to that drop in the ocean, that is time to eternity, then what is all the things of this world to our precious, never-dying souls? And what is the profit of all the labor under the sun, if it doesn't end in the salvation of my soul and the preparation of my soul for that vast and never-ending eternity? Oh, dear friends, how precious is the time we live in, that we might be given eyes to see how precious it is, how short it is, and how needful it is at that time to be brought into the dust of abasement. And if the Lord should rebuke us and reprove us and say words like this, "Thou fool." For the Lord spoke such a word to me too. "Thou fool. What are you doing with your life?" These words we come to thank the Most High God for, as they enter and sink in the soul with reality. What utter and abject fools we are to waste the entirety of our life in the things and that shall fade away and fall through our fingers as water does in our hands. Time. Maybe there be a season. Maybe there a purpose in time in which the Lord will strike our hearts and bring us into deep repentance, and to bring us to the feet of Christ. And there, dear friends, I want to speak something of. In the fullness of the time. We can speak of many other things in the world and as regards things of time, the things of sense and the things of reason. But all that we would tonight spend some time yet on that theme of the fullness of the time. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And we may thank God for that verse in Galatians 4, verse 4. "But in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ." A time allotted, a time determined, a time prophesied, a time set in the never-begun eternity, that Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, would come to this world. In the fullness of the time, that God would send forth his Son, Christ, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. You see there again how the Lord will affect our souls of the need to be saved. How the Lord brings in his precious law, his holy law, and kills a man. He cuts down a man for his sins and brings him into the dust of abasement. He makes him broad. He brings him to a solemn awareness of what he has done before the Most High God, that the fullness of the time may be the coveted time in his soul. Oh, that I might find Jesus. That I might be in Jesus Christ and flee for refuge to Jesus. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That time when we see all the movings in the world. Caesar brings in the taxation of the Israelites. Caesar, and so we see Joseph and Mary brought to the little town of Bethlehem. Profound wonders. Profound wonders they are. That the prophecies of Micah, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least among the tribes of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall be the prince of Israel." What a wonderful thing. There's no chances, there's no surprises. God has ordered all things in time and ordered them all in and sure. And so, made of that Virgin Mary, made of the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that all his people, convicted in time, brought to a sense of their unworthiness and the need of salvation, might rejoice in Christ their Savior with Simeon. Oh, there was a time, my love. The time of the circumcision of Jesus when he's brought into the temple? That time when Simeon lifted up the child Jesus and rejoiced. And thou, child, shall be the joy and rejoicing of Israel, light to lighten the Gentiles. Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, what a time have we seen such a sight, friends? Has such a time entered into our souls, such a religious experience? And Jesus enters into this world, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The Lord's people rejoice in the theme of Jesus Christ and all that pertains to the blessed Savior. Then we walk through the walk of Christ, all through his walk of humility, his walk of meekness, his walk of lowliness, his walk of suffering, his walk of sorrowing, his walk of contempt and hatred of his enemies. And blessed Jesus in his wisdom. Oh, he thwarted all those that were his enemies and he knew their very thoughts. Those that tempted him, those that condemned him. Oh, the Lord Jesus put them all down. But there was a people whose hearts were touched, and people brought down low in the dust, the people filled with diseases and loathsomeness of sin. A people whose hearts yearned for the Lord Jesus Christ, a people who needed a Savior. A people who were called sick. A people who needed a physician. Oh, they joy and rejoice in that time recorded in the Word of God and the Gospel. Of all that is spoke of Jesus Christ, that is a comfort to their hearts. For they needed the Savior in this life, in our life. Do we need such a Savior today? Do we need such a Savior, friends? Young and old together, from the youngest ones in our midst. Little children, you need a Savior in your life. Can you live without Jesus in your young age? You think, young ones, that you won't die? Little children? Young ones in our midst, you think you're too young to die? There's so many times that the Lord takes people out of time into eternity in their youth. Young teenagers. I remember, and he was 19 years old, full of the world, a friend. Never give one thought of eternity. Never give one thought of the value of his life. I don't say I'm a stitch better. I was the same. But one night coming home, it was the last day of his life. And he died tragically in the late hours of the night. And the cold hand of death came upon him. And the sickle of death was thrust in and he was taken to judgment. Young people, do not think that you have a right to live to an old, ripe age. Time is indefinite. The end of time is unknown. And for that young man, it was over. What of you? Middle-aged and elderly in our midst, the same thing applies. How precious is time, and how soon it ends. But what is that dear, beloved Redeemer to me, to my soul? You know, we don't take anybody with us to the judgment seat. We cannot take our partner with us, nor our children around us. We cannot take a converted person to represent us or to speak for us. Oh, that he tried to do good or she tried to do good. Or I remember this act or that act. No, friends, we go alone before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give an account of time. Of your time and my time. Therefore, the child of God has come to covet the person of Jesus Christ to represent him. They know they cannot stand before God, and they know that at the judgment seat, the mouth will be shut. Silence! The Lord will set in array the catalog of sins that we have done, and will be silent. Time. How have we spent time? And I do not say the child of God has no sins. How many times he has more sins? But the difference is, friends, in time he has learned to flee for refuge to Jesus and to cry for mercy and to beg that the Lord might look down upon him and forgive the multitude of his sins. In time, he has been taught to pray with urgency, vehemency, and importunity. He has learned the cry of the publican, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He has learned the cry of Peter, "Lord, save me, I perish." He has learned to cry in the silent petitions, "O God, unto thee I lift up my soul." Or he cries, "Lord, whom desire I but thee? And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." And so he spends his time wisely, for the most part, seeking God. And I say it's for the most part because of our sinful, evil flesh. When this precious Jesus Christ sent upon his earth, when he does not sustain our way, oh, then we sink. And here I wanted to move the experiences of time. The experiences in the child of God in time. And my mind was drawn in the vestry to that word in Romans. In Romans, I believe it's in Romans 5, where it says there about troubles and tribulations. "Therefore we glory in tribulations, for tribulation worketh experience, and experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God," in Romans 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, that blessed coming of Jesus Christ. They've been united to him by living faith. And they have been shown that precious work of the blood of Christ. And that blood has been sprinkled upon their consciences, upon their heart. And they have tasted something of that blood that has washed away all their sins. And they know something at times have been lost in wonder of what Jesus' redemptive work is to their soul. Oh, they have blessed God for the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. But there it doesn't end. There they're brought into the wilderness. I've said this before. And then it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." That is, that my hope is upon Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior. "The anchor of my soul standeth both sure and steadfast in the ascended mediator, in his mediatorship." Why? Because he prays for me. Because he makes intercession for me. Because he's the advocate for me in all my sins. And all, as I begin that journey through a converted life, the wilderness walk, and I'm plunged into distress and plunged into sorrows and plunged into the awareness of my sickness all through the course of time, the experience of time is that my hope rests on Jesus Christ alone. He says here, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." We learn that these sorrows, that these afflictions, that these torments of the soul, the distresses of the soul, the times of darkness, the valleys of the shadow of death, the horrendous afflictions, assaults of Satan, they produce within us experience. What is experience? Why, it is a never-ending kindness of God in his closeness and proximity to us, that he holds our hand, that he will never let us go, that he protects us with a portion of his faith, that he defends us against Satan, that Satan's assaults may not destroy us, and that in every time of these trials, the further we go in Christian experience, the more settled we are, and that all these troubles must come. But when they come, we learn by experience that we are saved by grace, by the sovereign grace of our God and the tender mercy of our Father, and by the loving kindness of Jesus Christ. We are not ever saved of any strength in ourselves or any ability to maintain our way in time. No, we are saved by the love of Jesus Christ for us, his compassion and mercy for us, that we are written on the palms of his hands and he suffered and bled and died for us, that we are written on the breastplate of his righteousness as that mediator and high priest. And therefore, when we go into tribulations and afflictions, we learn that the Lord will sustain us. He will not let us go. Time teaches a child of God that he is sustained by his beloved mediator and Savior and friend Jesus Christ. Time teaches us of him who is faithful to the words that he has promised us and spoken to us. And he will maintain that people through those tribulations. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Hope in God's mercy. Hope in God's strength. Hope in God's provisions. Hope in God's help. Hope in God's graces. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God's love is communicated into the soul of that people who in time have learned the beauties of Jesus Christ, their Savior. by the Holy Ghost. So we see here, I've said it so many times, and we never ever can do this properly, the sacred harmony and beauty of the Holy Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working that full salvation in this poor child of God who in the course of time has sought for refuge in Jesus Christ the Savior. Do we know such experiences in time? Is this how we are spending our time or being spent in time? Do we have such a knowledge, friends, of the loving kindness of Jesus Christ? Face view of the dear Savior who holds us in his arms. Face view of the eye of Jesus in heaven who looks down upon us in tenderness and compassion. Face trust. And the words of the Spirit, I will go with you whithersoever thou goest. These words, dear friends, I can speak my experience in the short little knowledge I know of that word. I will go with thee whithersoever thou goest. That word was spoken the first time I left for England for the ministry. Trembling and fearful how the thing would end. So exceedingly fearful in my heart. And those words were spoken with such power. I will go with thee whithersoever thou goest. And it doesn't effectually work within us that confidence. No, it's a sweet promise that we are weak and we are doubting creatures and we can never do it right. But the Spirit will grant us a word at his appointed time. The Spirit will grant the ability to speak as he would have us speak. And the Spirit will open up the precious word of God to speak it as he would have us declare it to the people. He will be with. That is his promise. And we learn, not that we are so strong, but that we go over and over, Lord, help me. We plead that promise over and over. And though we doubt at times, we fear at times, there's times when we preach and we feel it was utter amiss and utter folly and utter emptiness and only the words of a man. Yet we confide in the Blessed Spirit's promise. And experience over the years begins to show that he is faithful. What he has spoken to the heart, he will most certainly perform, for it is the word of God. It is the word of the Most High God. God who cannot lie. You know, I preached it one time. All men are liars. Are you offended, friends, that when I say that to you, you also, and me, all we are is filthy liars. The best of men is altogether vanity. All men, there's not a man on earth that can be trusted, left to himself. Are we offended with such a statement? If the Lord would teach us what's really in here, then we have to humbly confess that that's exactly what we are. Experience, tribulations, and experience when we are left to ourselves will testify that we are indeed deceitful above all things. And Jeremiah's word in Jeremiah 17 comes into the heart with reality. The heart is as desperately wicked and deceitful of all things. Who can know it? And then we have to say, Lord, that is who I am. Tribulation, we're left to ourselves, like Peter, that we fall away and we curse the man we profess to love with oaths and blasphemies. That's a solemn sight. Perhaps you may say, I would never do that. My strength surely is stronger than that. And having Peter's example, surely I won't fall into such a trap. Dear friends, left to ourselves, left alone, left to make decisions on ourselves, we will. We'll do worse than Peter. How weak we are. How weak and deceitful we are in these things. Another thing, being so exercised in this time of life, this wilderness journey, Satan seeks to destroy the soul, whether he does it by when we feel the Lord is with us. Then we feel the wretched spirit lifting ourselves up in pride. Oh, when we feel that we can walk in the commandments of the Lord and the Lord blesses us, then we begin to think, oh, a good man, a very holy man. Terrible are these things, dear friends, if we're left to ourselves and convinced of this. Oh, if the Lord did not sustain us, if the Lord did not bless us with his faith so often unseen. Satan had utterly destroyed us with his terrible, terrible suggestions. Experience in life teaches us this, that without Jesus' faith, without Jesus giving us faith, and without Jesus sustaining us, those invisible arms of his to protect us, and his defense as a protector of the soul against Satan's assaults, those temptations of Satan will utterly ruin us. But what does experience tell us? He died for us. He loved us. He saved us. His compassion is to us. His protection is for us. His arms are around us. And he maintains his poor creatures, his poor fickle creatures, his poor sinful bride. He maintains her pathway all her journey through. The fullness of the time God sent forth his Son. And I believe in my heart, dear friends, that the child of God rejoices that there is such a time that we can speak of. A time that Jesus came to conquer Satan. I love that word. Come, let us go. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Or that other word. Touched. Tempted in all things like all that, I'm saying it in my own words, touched, tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. That time of Jesus Christ living upon this earth is our hope, our life, and our joy. So that when we, in this time, say when we live in it, we live through the life of Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my only hope. I have nothing else. I am crucified through the world. And I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's an honest confession. The affections of the world are crucified. The love to the world is taken away. And the desire is to walk a path consistent with my Savior through him who lives within me. That's also experience. And so we trust in this time in none other than the person of Jesus Christ. So then, beloved friends, because then we speak of time, but we also come to speak of the end of time. We come to speak of when time shall be no more, when we are ushered into the never-ending eternity. It is there that this people alone rejoice in Christ their Savior. It is there that this people, not only through this life that they've rejoiced in him, but in him and through him, death has no more power, no more sting. Sin has no more sting. The grave cannot hold them, and the devil will never take them. Never. For in this time, they had learned to flee to Christ for refuge. In this time state, they had lived a life of faith and hope in Jesus Christ. And in this time state, he adorned their naked souls in his precious righteousness, showered them with his love, and washed them from all their sins in his precious blood. And therefore, at the end of time, time has a different sense. We started in the beginning. Time has a different thing. It is only the time between their time state on earth and when they shall come up and meet him in the clouds of heaven. Oh, shall we be found there, friends? Shall he summon us up into the clouds of heaven to be with him forever and ever? Do you live a life of faith in Jesus Christ this very moment? Has he become your only true hope and the joy and rejoicing of your soul? Your faith, your hope, your life, your love. The bride said it with such lovingness. My beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine and his desire is toward me. My beloved is the altogether lovely one, the chiefest of 10,000. Can we say such precious words in this time? If by faith the Lord has shown us such precious truths, the never-ending eternity is but that time. It's not even time. It's an expanse, we would say, unimaginable to the finite mind, in which we shall praise the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and thank the Father for this tender mercy in saving us and drawing us out of this world to worship at the feet of Jesus Christ and to love and adore him for what he's done for our souls. Will we be there? Hear that? The passing of time, the ticking of the clock, how soon it will end. Will we be there? Will we be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Will we hear his voice? And the time will come, the resurrection time, when the dead will hear his voice and the dead shall rise out of the graves to be with him forever and ever in the clouds of heaven to worship him. May we be found there. And now, dear friends, is at the end of this discourse, and again of time, there's always a time of coming and a time of going. A very short time ago, I was favored to come amongst you and hope to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and set before you the sacredness and excellencies of Jesus Christ, the beloved Redeemer. And I pray that the Lord may bless each of your souls. The Lord might bring you into that living church of Jesus Christ and make you his bride. We pray that the church that is here at this time, oh, that we may be united in love, in the sweetness of the gospel and care for one another, exercise in the need of prayer, and all be blessed with true humility, unfeigned humility, and filled with the Christian zeal to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, and be showered with that exceeding abundant and rich love of Jesus Christ, that he might open the windows of heaven and pour forth his righteousness upon you. And that we might hear of the sacredness of the work of Christ in the souls and the urgency being made a reality. And time, the means of preparing your souls for eternity. And so when we now depart for everything, there's a season to time and a time to every purpose under heaven. There is a time to depart. And when we depart from one another, I can say in my heart that you will have a fond place in my heart, in my memories. And I thank you each for the kindness that you have shown, the love that has been given to me, and I truly can say that I have felt at home here in your midst. And so may the Lord remember you and continue to shine in your midst, that he may favor you with abundance, that this might be the place where God dwells. This may be the place where God will bless your souls, and that your souls may be the place that the Blessed Spirit enters. Jesus Christ dwells within you, and that you may love that dear Redeemer, and that we would think of you one another, that we may think of the blessings of the gospel, and that we might rejoice in Christ Jesus, our dear Redeemer and Savior, our friend and lover, the eternal refuge of our souls. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £920, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And there will be a church meeting on Monday the 4th of March. And would you kindly remain after the benediction, please? Our closing hymn, number 717. Brethren, those who come to bliss, come through sore temptations. May we all, remembering this, pray for faith and patience. Hymn 717.
And now, dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our gathering together in this day. And Lord, we pray that thou will grant unto each of us that the word might enter each of our souls and grant that fruit of regeneration, that seed that doth spring up and bring forth fruit. Lord, remember our beloved friends. Bless their precious souls and remember them. Shine upon them with thy light and counsel and favor. Hear us and answer us in that name of Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear friends, we must not let this moment pass without giving thanks to Almighty God for sending our friend among us. And many of us are feeling like the Ephesian church when Paul left them, sorrowing that they should see his face no more, at least for a season. And we do believe that the Holy Ghost has been in the ministry that we've had amongst us. And we pray that the Lord will go before our friend, take him safely home, bless him, and make him a blessing to his people. Now let us sing together hymn 373, and then at the end of that hymn, sing the doxology. Hymn 373, with heavenly power, O Lord, defend him whom we now to thee commend, his person bless, his soul secure, and make him to the end endure. And at the end of that hymn, the doxology, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
you very much, and may the Lord remember you all in his mercy and kindness.